yesterday, we have a dinner at church on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
My wife comes into my office beforehand. And she's like, I need to find you before your daughter finds you. I say, okay, what happened? She's like, there's a dog in our backyard. I say, well, why is there a dog in our backyard?
Okay.
So apparently Sophia and William were playing yesterday in the front yard, and a dog from the neighborhood, we assume from somewhere, like came up to them, was super friendly. Sophia came in to tell Amanda that she was there, or that the dog was there, and the dog followed Sophia into our house.
They're choosing you.
Well, now there is still a dog in our backyard. We are actively looking for the proper owners. We did not.
They are the Bowser family.
That is unclear.
You need, you're going to need the Who Rescued Who bumper sticker on your car.
Nope. I have a savior. His name is Jesus.
Dog dad.
Not this dog.
Hashtag dog dad.
Nope. Hashtag no dogs.
What's his name?
I mean, we have no idea.
What do you call it?
Sophia has named it Penny.
Okay. So congratulations to Penny.
No, we have no idea what the dog's name is.
Penny is the dog's name. It sounds like God has given you a dog.
God did not need me to have a dog. God and I have had this discussion. God and I are firmly on the same page. It's my family and I that have a disagreement as to...
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Shut up.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Joe Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And no Elise McCarter today.
No.
Our recording is a little...
Yeah, we're recording the week of Ash Wednesday. Things are a little bit nuts.
Things are a little weird, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully by the time of release, Penny will have found her rightful owners.
She did.
Not at the Bowser house.
She already did. Yeah. she found her family. Do you need dog food? Do you need a bowl?
No, we got dog food from a neighbor last night. Okay. And yeah. Penny's cared for until we can find her family.
Sure. Penny already found her family. All right. Well, anyway. we are in the midst of Lent.
We are.
Of Ash Wednesday.
A blessed Lent to you all.
Yeah. You did a great job. I listened to both your sermons.
Yeah. That was a little fun Ash Wednesday surprise. Throw out the noon draft and try again.
Yeah, we'll go over what that means later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
It's not common that I write two separate sermons for a service in the same day. That's not
usually
practice.
Not the same. Yeah, sometimes it changes organically on its own.
Yeah, sometimes you're like, that didn't quite work, but, not usually completely throwing it out and starting again.
Yeah.
Do we have any funny news stories?
I have a news story. You know, funny is, you know, we'll see.
It's all relative, sure.
Okay. Do you like extreme sports?
Like to participate in or to watch others do?
Sure, whatever you want to do there.
Yeah. I enjoy watching others do them. Yeah. I'm typically not the extremist myself.
Nah, yeah.
I'm pretty chill as far as my sports. Like, I will ski, but I don't want to, like, go off a jump. Like,
I remember when... In the late 90s, early 2000s, like extreme sports. And like they were being added to the Olympics. Like,
yeah.
It was a thing.
The X Games were coming in.
X Games, all that stuff. Well, there's a new extreme sport out there.
Uh-huh.
That maybe you want to be a part of.
Okay. What do we got?
This is from the AV Club. That is a companion to The Onion, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yes. So but is this
not,
real?
This is, okay, this is real. It's legit.
Okay.
Meet one of the very neat athletes heating up the world of extreme ironing.
Okay, so you're like ironing while upside down, or what's the ironing situation here?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
This is a profile piece on New Zealand's Matthew.
Of course, it's
Batley.
New Zealand. Yeah.
But you know, whatever. I don't really. You know, this is not about him.
Right.
For our purposes, this is about extreme ironing.
Sure.
All right. So the top athletes. Basically just look for strange places to break on an ironing board and press a few items of clothing.
So this is like planking, but now instead of making yourself the ironing board, you're taking an actual ironing board and ironing on it.
I guess every, you know, few years, you know, something like this has to happen.
Yeah.
Evidently, like in the 20s, people were like sitting on poles or something.
That was a big thing. Pole sitting was
a thing. And then planking was a thing, I don't know, 10-ish years ago?
Mid early 2000s, yeah. Because they talk about it in The Office. So, mid 2000s.
Or, I guess, 10-ish years ago, maybe, parkour.
Yeah, parkour and planking were kind of contemporaneous with one another. Yeah, sure. Those were both around, yeah.
But now, extreme.
Extreme ironing.
Ironing.
Yeah, okay. Are you an ironer? Do you iron things?
No.
I was going to say, your wardrobe exists almost exclusively of t-shirts, so I did not figure you had a lot of ironing to do.
Yeah, my office attire is usually a plain colored V-neck shirt.
Right.
That's usually what I wear to the office.
Yeah, and you look great doing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, blue jeans.
Sure.
Or not like khakis or slacks, like more, you know, something or another.
Yeah.
And the summer shorts because it's hot.
Yeah, because it's 1,000 degrees everywhere.
No, I am not much of an ironer.
Okay.
So for me, extreme ironing is ironing. You know?
I wouldn't say I'm much of an ironer. I do have to occasionally iron things.
Sure.
And I'm the one in my house who irons when things need ironed. So I am that.
Yeah.
I've never thought to myself, where could I go to make this ironing more interesting?
Sure. I'm more of an extreme drop off my suit at the dry cleaners.
Right. Yeah.
Because then like they just do it.
They do
for
it.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the photo here is of him on top of a volcano.
Oh, okay.
That he
seems like the volcano would take care of that ironing right away.
Sure. Well, it was 80 mile per hour winds.
Uh huh.
And the rocks were hot enough that he could warm the iron on the rocks.
Love it.
So, and this was his first foray.
That was his intro.
Oh, into extreme ironing.
Nowhere to go but up from there.
It's a contest now. The Extreme Ironing World Championships.
Oh.
Which was first held in Germany.
Of course.
People iron while hanging upside down.
Okay. Is it like is it a time thing or is it like
I don't know.
Is it like it could be like a gymnastics where they're like scoring your routine, like you iron with flair and like they rate you at the end of it?
I have no idea. Is it based on ironing or the extremeness?
Or is it like, you know, you get so many points for this and so, because like, in figure skating, you get like the performance and then artistry or something like
that,
right?
Sure, sure. So, the technical job of
ironing.
Right,
yeah, technical and art and artistic. Yeah, you get both scores, yeah.
Yeah. This from Batley, he says, I'm afraid the iron doesn't do a terribly good job of ironing clothes in the wilderness.
That sounds right.
Hey, a poor carpenter blames his tools. But it's a somewhat pointless venture anyway, since you tend to put the item you've ironed back into the bag after ironing anyway, so any gains are short-lived.
Yeah.
That's probably true. You're probably not, like, you know, pressing your suit and then, like, just putting it on.
Yeah. Like, now I'm in a suit
on a
volcano.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do some extreme ironing?
No, I'm good. My extreme ironing is going to be turning on my TV and watching a show while I iron. Is that extreme?
What show?
Maybe an extreme ironing show.
Because maybe that's more extreme, depending on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure this. I mean, like, it involves not only hiking, carrying an iron, which is not a light thing.
No.
It's an ironing board.
Yeah. And this is like a real iron where you're going to have to, like, build a fire to heat it. Like, this is not an electric iron that you can just plug in.
Or one heck of an extension cord.
Right. So this is, like, a real heavy iron.
Yeah.
You're going to have to build a fire. You're going to have to carry a shirt that you're not going to wear anyway.
Sure.
No, I don't want to do this. This is awful.
For a photo of you ironing clothes.
This is, like, I love hiking, but I don't love hiking in nice clothes.
We could have brought an iron to Denali.
We could have. We could have ironed in Denali.
Hiked up there somewhere.
Yeah.
Do some ironing. There's a bear in the background.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. Maybe you could have been on the extreme.
The real extreme, iron on the back of the bear.
Sure. Iron the bear.
Iron the bear. Bear is looking a little wrinkly.
Sure.
Coming out from hibernation. We got to smooth those out. Smooth out that fur.
I mean, if you did that, I bet you would get a trophy or something.
Yeah. Or be dead. One of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not interested. I think it's weird.
They do have, what's that award that they give out for like the dumbest ways people died?
The Darwin Awards.
Darwin, yeah. I think you would get a Darwin Award for that. So you do get a trophy.
Two awards.
Yeah, a posthumous trophy.
There you go. So let us know if you want to do some extreme ironing.
Yeah. Let us know where you would like to iron.
Sure.
If you were going to extreme iron, where would you extreme iron?
All right,
I feel like skydiving could be interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but then what happens to the ironing board? Does it have its own parachute? Or is it like just like fling at the earth?
I think it's a team event. So you got one person who's like holding the ironing board and the other person's like ironing on the ironing board.
Okay. These are some good ideas. Whitewater rafting.
Sure. Yeah. I like
that. A good mist.
Yes. I mean. Got to get that steam factor really gets out that crease.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Horseback riding. Bull riding. Ooh, running for the bulls.
Bull
running from the bulls.
Yes. While
in Pamplona.
Ironing. Yes.
Yes.
While ironing.
Ironing your little scarf that they usually
you get,
wear.
You get your friend to strap the ironing board to their back.
Okay.
They run in front of you and you iron on their
on I thought it maybe on wheels, like it's and you're like pushing it.
Oh, you could do that too. Yeah, that's an option.
Yeah.
I like the creative juices we've got flowing here.
I think we're ready. I'm not ready to be an extreme ironer, but I'm ready to coach an extreme ironer.
If you want to do this, we will coach you.
I will gladly be whatever Rocky's coach is.
Absolutely.
For Rocky.
We'll gladly let Rocky pay us to give him these ideas.
All right.
Enough silliness.
Yeah. So for today's podcast, we're going to talk about a local news.
Yeah.
I guess.
Local to us. Maybe not to you. We don't know where you are listening.
Yeah, but local. So, yes, as of recording yesterday, Wednesday, Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
Evidently, there was a man in our community or from the surrounding community who came to one of our high schools during the car drop-off line and held up a big sign that says, gay sex is evil.
And then pointed to 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And had their ministry's website, which does not work. If you go to that link, it's not a real thing. So
sure.
That was cool.
You know, maybe not the biggest mistake you made.
That's fair. It's one of those where I'm like, you went through all this effort and like, it's not even, anyway.
You know, yeah. Yeah, so that happened.
It did.
I saw a local pastor address it on Facebook. I went to the Woodlands subreddit and I saw the photo, the same photo.
Didn't even know that we had a subreddit. Look at us go.
It's not very active. But there it is. I did comment on it. And I wrote, you know, a little thing, not only for our youths, because we have some kids who go to College Park, and we have a little youth group chat. So I wrote a thing, and then I wrote something for our church Facebook, and then you, this is why you changed your sermon.
Yeah, throughout my noon sermon, because we found about it in the afternoon, right? It happened in the morning, we found out about it, I don't know, what is it, like 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that.
So I thought it'd be fine, you know, let's just talk through this process for us, what, you know, this was like, and we also have some homegrown activism within our own community, kind of tackling at the end there. So see the picture. What are you thinking?
Well, I think my first thought is, how are we protecting the kids who are going in and out of the school? Yeah. And my heart just breaking for the kids who are having to see that. You know, part of what I said in my sermon, right, is that even if there was only one person who was directly connected to the LGBTQ community in some way, which is absolutely not the right number, right?
Sure.
I mean, 3,000 students at that school, there's no way that only one person has that connection. But even if there was only one, that's enough reason for me, for us to say that this is unacceptable and inappropriate, right?
Like,
part of this, I think, still comes back to this misconception that being gay is something that you choose, right? And so if we stop thinking of it like that and start realizing, like, you have no more choice over being gay than you do over being born of a different skin color, right? Like, if somebody were standing on that street and saying being black is evil, right, the entire community would be in uproar, right? No one
should be.
Well, yeah, the entire community. Yeah, all right. The entire community should be in uproar. I think we'd have a much larger uproar than we saw for this. And the reality is, this really is not different, right? Yeah. God loves them the same. God cares for them the same. The church should love and care for them the same. And that's what Lord of Life attempts to do, and that's what we try to live into with our value of welcoming all. And so that's where my sermon ended up going, is really living into why we want to be specific in what we mean when we say all. Because one of the things we hear often is, well, all, of course, everybody knows what all means, right?
For sure.
Why do we have to say all means this? And it's because of this, right? It's because suddenly we've now seen a message from someone throwing out scripture to say that God's love is not for all people. And so when we say that God's love is for all people, we have to be clear on what we mean. We have to be more specific in that.
Yeah, I do want to come back to that, but I want to kind of first hit. First off, the passage that he references, 1 Corinthians, we've covered on a previous podcast.
Episode something.
We're not really interested in getting into that again.
Yeah, you know? You can find it.
But we went through, as a podcast, there are six-ish times where homosexuality is discussed in the Bible. And I'm using discussed very loosely.
Right.
The one that
we're using homosexuality kind of loosely too.
That is true. Yeah. The Bible verse he references, it's a word in Greek that might mean homosexuality.
Maybe.
And
if you squint and look at it just right.
And
now.
And maybe, and you know, look, I'll give some charity here. Maybe it does. All right. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it does. So I think there's some other people out there who could say, like, I actually think this word means something different.
Yep.
It's a made-up word. Paul made it up.
Yep.
It could.
And we've talked about it on that previous episode.
Yeah, so we don't need to get all that. But, okay, I do think, first, it is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
We have had, through my time here, I mean, dozens of students go through this high school and be a part of there. Of those dozens of students, I could probably identify six or seven that have been a part of our program,
mm-hmm.
who went through the high school,
mm-hmm.
that would identify as members of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw that, I thought of them. Maybe they don't go to the school there anymore. Maybe they've graduated several years ago. But just, I thought yeah. of their experience of walking or being driving to school and seeing that.
Yeah.
And what that does, and I think what you did a great job in your sermon, is it makes the work of those that profess Jesus in love, care, and tenderness to the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. so much harder.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more doubt or fear or anger mm-hmm. associated with our message. Now, if that is this man's and the photo is a little weird if you've seen the picture
yeah,
because there's three guys, but two of them are teachers and they're there
staff at the school, yeah.
to basically be like, what's happening?
Yeah. Trying to get kids in through the yeah, process. Like,
to,
yeah.
To not like just tackle this guy to the ground, which maybe they wanted to right. do, but to kind of protect the students as best they could as they're coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even protect this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, so it's only the guy that's on the side. You see,
right.
if you see,
just the one guy.
You know, that looks like your neighbor. Like, don't yell at them.
Unless it's the guy holding the sign, in which case,
sure,
yell at that
maybe
guy.
Yes. Maybe you should. Yeah.
With the love of Christ. Yell
with
at
the love of Christ. Yeah. 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 But, you know, I think you just kind of see that's just not effective, dude.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, like that, even if you think that, even if that's your spiritual belief, you walk away from 1 Corinthians where homosexuality is mentioned in a list of sins, maybe,
yeah,
with no context or yeah. no understanding behind it. None of those other things on that list are we holding up on the sign.
Right.
Not a one.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of things that are much clearer on that list.
Yeah, the Bible is very, very clear on that. And as one more to say, again, we got six.
Yeah.
And that's generous.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah.
So for me, part of my understanding is like, what does this even accomplish
mm.
beyond a persecution fetish of like, look at me, I'm suffering in the name of Jesus by being a jerk, mm. you know? And Jesus tells us the world will hate us.
Yeah.
And so it kind of reinforces sure. being a jerk. You know, I don't think this was what Jesus meant.
You don't think Jesus meant to stand there and, hold up a sign and say, look, people hate me, so I'm doing the work of Jesus?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's you fair. Know, that's I don't think that's Jesus' point either.
But now I do want to get to your, you know, yeah, we each kind of address this mm-hmm. from our own platform.
Sure.
So let's get to your sermon.
Okay.
Because I think that this is important.
Is this like sermon critique time? I'm right.
No, I listened this morning. I thought it was good.
It can be positive critique. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah.
So, because I want to get into one of the things you address.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we say, all means all, and you kind of yep. mentioned this, that people have asked us, like, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
We understand that all means all. And yeah. here we say, and I'm going to not say this correctly.
Yeah.
Could you say it correctly?
We have a statement that, about our
yeah,
value.
Yeah.
And in the statement, it says, essentially, if regardless of age, race, gender, or sexual orientation, you are welcome here. That's the core sentence that most people focus on. Like, yeah, that's what all means. Of course, yeah, right? And that's the heart of where we get
for sure.
questions. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I want to talk about that a little
bit. Yeah, sure.
If that's okay. So, now, since we've had, and I mentioned this, members mm-hmm. of the LGBTQ community as part
yeah.
of our youth program, and we've had gay, lesbian, and trans,
mm-hmm.
all, and bisexual, whatever letter you want to throw at me,
yep.
we've probably experienced within our youth program.
Sure.
Sometimes we have to partner with other organizations
mm-hmm.
or for a summer mission trip. I'm like, where are we going to stay?
Yeah.
Where are we going to go? And I have to go to websites and I think, okay, I have a trans kid.
Mm-hmm.
They might sign up to another trip. I
yeah.
don't know if they will or not.
They might.
But they might. I don't want to go to a place that's going to harass
yeah.
or
sure.
harangle them. As we, as a youth program, figure out what's our best practices,
right.
I don't want that, you know, somebody else to trump our best practices, if
right.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I've looked at a lot of websites
mm-hmm.
of churches, of organizations to navigate, would they be cool? You
yeah.
know, like, are you going to be okay if one of my kids says they're gay? Or
yeah.
ask, what bathroom do I use?
Yeah.
You know, these, you know, reasonable questions. And I will say, out of all the places I've looked at, it's either very explicit
mm-hmm.
or it says nothing at all.
Mm.
Like, and by explicit, I mean like very like we are LGBTQ affirming.
Yeah.
Or it says nothing.
Yeah.
Like no churches out there in our community are like trans not welcome.
Sure.
Like it's like a big sticker on their website. Do not come here if you're gay.
Yeah.
No church has that. They might have, we hold to a biblical understanding of marriage, which
yeah.
is a little bit of an eye roll, but yeah. I don't think they know what they're talking about because again, the Bible has a lot of different marriages. Some I agree with and some I think yeah. are not great.
Most of them do not look like what we would consider to be a standard marriage today.
Yeah, almost none are like, that's the marriage I want for my family.
Right.
Almost none. Do you watch, yeah. walk away and be like,
that's
they
great.
They got it. It. Yeah. And I want what they have.
Yeah.
Almost none. And if there are any, one hand, you're
sure
maybe two fingers, you know, like, and I think you're being generous with those two fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I think that this is why we have to be explicit.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit of a mystery. If you are a member of that community, looking at a church website, no website out there is going to be like, do not come here.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the challenges that we face when we put ourselves into the shoes of the LGBTQ community or any other
yeah.
Marginalized community, frankly, right? But I mean, that's the one that we're focused on today. When we put ourselves in their shoes and hear their stories, what they say is we've been to churches, we've been to groups that have said all are welcome here. And then we get there and we find out, yeah, we're welcome as long as we, you know, acknowledge that who we are is a sin and we repent of our sin. Then we're welcome, sure.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Or as long as we, change who or claim that we have changed who we are, right? So they're, the teaching, right, of these various congregations or community groups is that, yeah, these people are all welcome because all people can be forgiven by God, right? Our teaching is you are welcome because you don't need to be forgiven for this, right?
Yeah.
There are plenty of things that we do wrong, right? We just went through Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday's whole purpose is to put ashes on your forehead and remind you that you are mortal and you cannot do this on your own, right? There are plenty of things that we as humanity need to repent of. Being a member of the LGBTQ community is not a thing that you need to repent of.
Yeah.
And so that's our way of being specific to say, you are welcome here because we don't think you need to repent for that. There are other things we're going to tell you you might need to repent for, right? We're going to talk about the ways in which we spend our money, the ways in which we treat others, the ways in which we talk to our enemies, right? All of these things are going to be things that we talk about as a community. That is not going to be on the list.
Yeah, I recently have some friends who are in a lesbian couple.
Mm.
They are church shopping
mm-hmm.
and figuring out this is tough.
You know? Yeah.
And
send them here. No,
I wish I could.
Yeah.
Not that we're great.
I understand.
They live in our area.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they are, going through this process of church shopping. And they have a hurdle that I just don't share.
Yeah.
I can walk into basically any church in America and nobody's going to be looking at me like I don't belong.
Yeah.
And maybe a handful. Maybe, like a Vietnamese church who only speaks Vietnamese. Maybe, Yeah, no. And, there are definitely churches can be divided strongly across racial lines.
Sure.
And it might look weird. I can acknowledge that those things exist. But for the most part, most churches in America, if my neighbor says, hey, would you like to come to church with me? I could walk in and nobody's going to look at me and be like, I don't think they belong here.
Yeah.
They do have that.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing that they have to navigate delicately,
mm-hmm.
That they want to protect themselves and their children and how
yeah.
that looks. And they want to go to church, yeah, that maybe say, like, you're welcome, but what happens
mm-hmm.
if they ask that they could teach Sunday school for their children?
Yeah.
Or go on a youth mission trip as mm-hmm. a leader or mm-hmm. be on council
mm-hmm.
or these things. They're asking the questions, right? Like, yeah, people are nice to me and I'm welcome, but is there a glass ceiling or glass walls around me that I'm unaware of?
Yeah.
Or is somebody going to say something to my kid about how our marriage is invalid and doesn't
yeah.
count?
Yeah.
And what happens if my kid hears that? What happens if we've been here for 7 years
mm-hmm.
and have deep relationships and we immediately have to be like, we can't go back? So we, I think, have to be that explicit to say, those invisible barriers don't exist here.
Yeah.
And that can be tough to trust.
Yeah.
For a community who drives to school and sees some guy with a sign.
Yeah.
To trust that we're different is hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, right? I mean, picking a church is not dissimilar to a marriage.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're in that relationship and you're hopefully mutually beneficial to one another. And I think if you have come out of a relationship in which, you know, your partner gaslit you about something, right?
Sure.
You know, or had a secret life, or you're in that committed relationship for 10 plus years, right? And they were, suddenly comes out that they have hated you all along, or that they've never loved your mother, or whatever it is, right?
Sure.
Something is revealed and that trust is broken, or they're, you know, infidelity maybe is a better example that I could have come with, right?
Sure.
And that comes out, you're probably going to have a hard time trusting in another relationship, understandably, right? Like,
sure.
We would all say, like, yeah, that makes sense. The same is true for members of this community who have been hurt by churches. We have a hard, they have a hard time. We as a church have a hard time addressing that because we struggle to put ourselves into their shoes and see that this is not the same. Like, just because I want to try to say this, and I'm not sure I'm going to say it perfectly, right? But just because I feel welcomed in my church and I know that I want to welcome them into my church does not mean that my experience is the same as theirs.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that we have people here at Lord of Life who want to welcome the LGBTQ community. But unless you are in that community, you can't speak to that experience of what it's like to go to other churches and what it's even like to walk into Lord of Life, where we hope to be a place where you are welcome. It's still an incredibly risky and brave thing for someone to do, no matter, even as explicit as it can be on our website. It's still a brave action to take. Right. And I think we have to be intentional about how we are aware of what that costs someone and what little it costs us. Right. It costs me very little to put this information out there explicitly.
Correct.
It costs me a little bit of time to say the thing or to write the statement. Right. It costs me very little. It can cost them everything to show up to a place and have that trust broken again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is kind of how, you know, we've been processing kind of like this, and some jerk with a sign. I mean, like, in reality, it's a jerk with a sign.
It is a jerk.
But it's systematic, and it's also, it's in our backyard, and we wanted to kind of like, how do we care for our community, for our kids who are currently at that high school, and not just, you know, alumni, but, you know, we have kids currently there. And also, you know, yesterday, we were processing, like, do we need our own signs? You know,
what,
like,
do we need to do?
Well, how do we do this? And I think we, kind of, you know, chose to kind of like prudence. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's do diligence. Let's figure out what's the best way.
Yeah. Well, and Pastor Cassandra and I had a direct conversation. You had to leave for the day, but we had talked about it a little bit. And her point was, what does the community need? Which I think was a really valuable question for us to consider. Like, none of the three of us, right, as the people who were discussing this at the time, none of the three of us are directly connected into that community, right? None of our kids go there. We're not staff there. And so her right suggestion, I think, was to say, what does the community need? And what I'm seeing is that the community responded for itself in some ways. Yeah.
And that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Like, some moms from our community who've had kids go to that school.
Yep. From Lord of Life.
From Lord of Life. Chose to,
along with some others,
there was not, show up with their own signs.
Yeah.
And show up with, you know, signs that God loves you, that they love you, and things like this. I texted them this morning. You know, their response has been, they said their response was mostly positive.
Sure.
I don't think anything overtly aggressive. I think some sneers.
Sure.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, those, you know, people get a people. But mostly positive, you know. But I think I you know, in texting them, I was like, you know, like, I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
And maybe I agree with our logic and thought process behind, like, prudence or due diligence or what does the community need. But on some level, I'm like, I really wish I was out there with a sign too.
Sure.
You know, and maybe that was the better decision. I don't know. You know, like, and maybe they made the right decision. But are they also making the right decision for them in those moments? And I'm proud of them. And I think that that's a really risky thing to do.
Yeah.
And, but I think we, in the face of hate, we do need to stand up.
Yeah.
And say no.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that members of our community were doing that. And I'm glad that our internal statements, our external statements, your sermon are doing that as well. They're saying, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not going to tolerate that. And we don't have to, you know, like, it wasn't necessarily at our church door.
Right, sure.
But it's in our community.
Yeah.
And we just say no. Yeah. All right. Any other thought? I mean, this was more, we had a episode planned.
Well, as much as we ever do. Sure. Yeah.
And we kind of just decided to kind of like, let's just talk about this kind of our process in addressing this and thinking this through. And right in front of me, you have a lovely letter that's going out to our congregation and our weekly
emails. It will probably be out by the time of this. You know, one of the things that I say in this, at the end of Ash Wednesday last night, we sang Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is a beautiful hymn. If you're not familiar with it, you can look it up. And one of the lines towards the end of the hymn is strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, right? That we ask God for these things to give us the strength for today and the bright hope for tomorrow. And my reflection in this piece, right, is that last night I was just begging God to get strength for today. Like that's all I could get, right? Mm-hmm. And to wake up this morning and to hear the story of the members of our community and others, like that's the thing that brings me hope, right? Yeah. That in the midst of this place where we were reeling and trying to figure out what to do, there were those who said, we know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And that brings hope for tomorrow. And so in the midst of this, right, I think that's the story that I keep clinging to, right? That hope wins out. Love wins out. That's the proclamation of the gospel, is that love wins out. I'm taken back to this time when I was in, like, I don't know, sixth grade, something like that. And there was supposed to be a Nazi rally in my hometown, like at the pavilion where we have outdoor concerts. They were going to have this rally. And we had heard about this in school, and, you know, our teachers had told us that this thing was going to happen. And so there was a community, like from within our community, there was a movement to have this, I don't remember, not anti-Nazi rally, but it's like a peace rally probably would have been what it was. And I remember like the end result being that there were like 12 dudes at this Nazi rally, and there were hundreds of people that came over to this other gathering to like celebrate the diversity of our community and peace and all this stuff. And I think that's the piece of the story that I keep coming back to, right? There's one guy out there with a Stein, and there's, you know, seven or eight women who show up the next day to say, we are not going to stand for this, right? How does hope allow us to multiply our strength, not just from our own strength, but from the strength that we gain from God and from community, to continue to proclaim love? I think that's a gift and a vision for something that we have, that no matter how loud that single voice is, hope wins, love wins.
Yeah. All right. That's great stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, if you were a part of this or directly affected by this, you know, we'd be happy to hear your stories. We want to know how you're affected or how we can be holding you in prayer. If you have any interest in extreme ironing, we want to know that.
Sure.
You know, we want to know where you're going to do your ironing. Or if you've just ever like had an interesting ironing story, you know, maybe you had an unfortunate but amusing injury. We don't want anything tragic, right? Just amusing injuries.
Boy, you burned.
Yeah, I mean, it could be an amusing burn, right?
Sure.
Like in Home Alone, when the iron like swings down and hits the guy in the face, that's an amusing burn, right?
So he probably would have died
in real life, but it's a movie, yeah. So it's great. Anyway, you can send it at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find all our episodes, including that one that Patrick referenced earlier, at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.